today. If you are here for the first time, we really welcome you, and we appreciate your visit. And just to let you know that there's a free cappuccino for you up at the top, and don't run away. We'd love to meet with you. We'd love to get details. I hope someone's given you a little pamphlet to just to tell you who we are, and if you maybe can fill in those details, we'd love to follow up on you. Amen. Let's pray before we get into God's Word. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that your presence has been so real amongst us this morning. Lord, you've met with us in dimensions that we can't always comprehend. You meet with our hearts, not always with our flesh. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've taken us from one degree of glory to the next. So, Lord, as we preach your word today, may your word change our hearts, change our thinking. And, Lord, may we through this, may Christ be honored and glorified in all that we do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. It gives me with great privilege in the life of the church we are growing, and God's adding to our leadership, and with that we need to see God in what he's doing. So with great privilege today is that I want to announce to you that Craig and Thora will be coming onto the eldership team, and we rejoice in that. Craig and Thora have been serving in this context, and God's hand has been upon them. We don't appoint with our own understanding. We watch to see what the Holy Spirit is doing and where he puts his anointing. And we just are privileged that we have a couple like this that have laid down their lives now, that are coming here, not here to get profile, but into a place to serve. And eldership is not a profile position. Eldership is a place of servanthood. And we rejoice in that. So what we're going to be doing on the 27th of August, we've got a translocal team membership family, Guy and Cheryl Feltman. They'll be coming here, and we'll have an ordination service at the end of this month, the 27th of August. So I'll ask you to get around Craig and Thora and encourage them in this process. And as I said to the deacons earlier, this is not a full stop, there's a comma. There are many more that are coming onto leadership and onto the eldership team. We trust that God's going to be doing that into the future. Amen. Okay, today I want to look at this word, and I want us to turn in our Bibles, please, from Luke chapter 17, from verse 11 to 19. And the message title today, Jesus is waiting for your appropriate response. Jesus is waiting for your appropriate response. And I'd like us to turn to the text, and let's read that together. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they went, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found, only one be found to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." In the RSV it says, "Arise, go thy way, and your faith has made you whole," not just well. I'd like to expound upon this portion of Scripture. I believe it's relevant to where we are at the moment. And because I really believe God is bringing us closer to him, and he wants to teach us some things. How do we get closer to the living God? Firstly, how earnestly men cry out for help when they feel their need of it. We see here we have lepers, and today we don't seem to have leper colonies anymore. Today it's incredible that the gift of medicine that we have, we can take tablets and leprosy can be cured. But in those days, it wasn't like that. The skin ailment of leprosy, it was non-discriminate. It went across from the young to the old to kings, had leprosy, and they were outcasts. They were cast out of society. They were cast out of their family. Imagine being married and your husband gets leprosy, and what are you going to do? You've got to be cast out of your family. You've got to be put out of the town. You've got to go and live in the veld. You've got to live, and they bring food to you at way off, and then you go and collect your food. They were outcasts. And even though in themselves they were beautiful people, but because of this disease, they were left away. But these men saw Jesus walking past, And they cried out to him. They lifted their voices to him and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They didn't go and touch him. They cried out to him. And what the practical lesson from this is, a very important thing about practical Christianity is these lepers learned something of when in their time of need, they called out in prayer. You know, the world doesn't teach us that to pray. The world teaches us to sort your problems out. To be clever and to be wise and go to the bank and sort your loans out. And yes, that's we need to do those things. But God teaches us very differently that when we're in need, and I promise you, you will be in need, God will allow circumstances to come across your path where you'll have to call out to the living God. You know, when we don't do that, we get proud. And God will do things and orchestrate things in your life that He will get you to a place that you will call upon His name. And God orchestrated prayer. It wasn't something that man worked out. He orchestrated that we need to be in a place that we need to call upon His name. God loves it. Because you know what? Prayer is not just a matter of just calling upon the name of the Lord and get your needs met. It grows into a place of conversation. And you know, I want to just say to you today, God has created you to converse with Him. The animals cannot converse with Him. Yes, they sing, you hear the birds in the morning, and as we heard the hardy-dars this morning, hardy-dar, they make a sound, but they don't converse. We are God's highest creation, and we have this incredible ability to converse with the living God, and we call it prayer. But I want to ask you the question, how many never pray? And you know what? That's an indictment in the church. Many in the church don't pray. Can I say honestly in my heart, many in the church don't catch the heart to pray. I can see it, and it's not only in this church, it's throughout the whole church. How many come to a prayer meeting? Because they don't see the value of it. They don't see the importance of it. They think it's just another meeting. No, it's communicating with God. How many of you pray in your family? When you face issues in the family, oh, let's run to the doctor. It's going to be okay. But how many of you turn to God in prayer? It's a very, very important thing. You know, some of us can be taught to repeat the form of words, but we never pray from our hearts. Because you see, you can't connect with God with your mind. Yes, you need to use your mind, but you connect with Him with your heart. And you know, that's why children actually connect with God, because they're childlike and they speak from their hearts. They've got none of this masking and they don't hide their agenda. They speak from their hearts. And I want to encourage you as you grow in this area of prayer, grow to pray to God from your heart. You don't have to come with this flowery language and you don't have to come with an understanding of the scriptures. Just talk from your heart. It's that simple. And you know, when you're down, tell God you're down. When you're up, tell Him you're up. And hopefully your ups are more than your downs. But tell God that this is where you are. And you know, the Lord actually loves that when we start to converse with Him. See, in a sense, I want to say there's a sin of prayerlessness in the church. It's a disease. It's not often seen, but it's a disease that has pervaded the world, and the world teaches us, and there are so many distractions for all of us. It's the TV. It's the world that we live in. There are so many things that are demanding. The modern world that we live in has got a thing called marketing and advertising, and they are so clever, and they're drawing us away for what God has created as precious for us. We have to be wise in these days. Do not fall foul to the disease of prayerlessness. It's very easy. There are many things. I promise you, you can be the best prayer today, but if you let yourself wander, your prayer life will wander, and eventually it'll be non-existent. One of the first things to go in our disciplines as we follow the Lord is our prayer life. Am I right? I'm talking because it's happened to me. I find that sometimes it's the most difficult thing where you have got to push through and be disciplined in this task of prayer. talking to God. No, we've got to find creative means today how to do it. But I want to tell you the best way to keep a consistent prayer life, get up early in the morning. Get to bed early. That's the key. Not getting up early is the answer. Get to bed early. Then you're fresh. I was talking to a little one this morning. She said she's not sleeping well. I said, have you ever asked the Lord to wake you up? Have you ever asked the Lord to wake you up? I know we got alarm clocks and we do all those things. Ask the Lord to wake you up. You'll be absolutely surprised, because when He wakes you up, you don't wake up, what's that going? And you're trying to put the vacuum off. No, He wakes you up gently and you're refreshed, and then go and have your time. God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to meet with Him in that time of prayer. You see, God loves us so much, and He doesn't want our prayer lives to be cold. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to come and to meet with Him. But as these lepers, they turned in prayer because they knew their weakness and their helplessness, and they cried out to God for mercy and grace. A lot of the times when we come before God, we don't come with the answers, we're crying for mercy. And God is merciful, and when He offers His mercy to us, He pours out His grace, His goodness and His blessing to us. We all need it. We're all saved by grace, but not only are we saved by grace, but we continue to live by grace. All of us are in stations where we're needing of God, and as we call upon Him for mercy, you'll be surprised when you call upon Him into your circumstances, God will pour out His grace. And as we heard this morning, His love is enduring and never fails. It's new every morning. That's what you'll find in the time of prayer. Can I be honest with you? I love my wife, I love my children, but I love my God. And I'm telling you now, He's my first. And I tell you now, I need to meet and converse with Him on a daily basis. You know, I can have my family and I can talk to them and we have lovely times together and we do things and make memories together. But if I don't have time with Him, I feel so empty. I've got to do that. I've got to force myself. So, you know, I've got to find creative ways also. It's not always I can get into my closet time and I can go and spend time with. So can I be honest and open with you? Sometimes the privacy of the toilet is a place where I converse with God. Is it scandalous to share those things with you? It's real, and you need to find times. And I wanted to suggest those that are in the workplace. I used to do that. It used to be when you used to have, they go and took their smoke break, I went to have my break with the Lord. And I would go to the loo and I'd go and sit and read my Bible. And God would speak so wonderfully and powerfully through those times. Secondly, how God helps us when we follow the path of obedience. Jesus said to these disciples, these lepers, He said, go and show yourselves to the priest. He did not touch them. He didn't command the disease to depart. He administered no medicine to them. He just said, go and do this. I think it was like Shaman was told to go and dip in the Jordan, and he fought. He said, I'm not going to go and do it. But then he went and did it, and he was healed. Also, I think it was leprosy, the same thing. Go and show yourselves to the priests, and they were healed. It was a simple act of obedience. Now, how do we become obedient? We've got to hear God's voice to become obedient. Now, one of the greatest ways that God speaks, we are so blessed to have God's written word, God that's spoken, that as He speaks to us through His word, obey what God has given us to do. But be simple and childlike when it comes to that. And as you obey, God will accomplish His will in and through your lives. You're not wise enough to work out the plans of your life. God works out the plans and the paths of life. We have got to be hearing what He says. And when He speaks to you in those circumstances, you know, you might be going through health issues. You might be going through financial issues. I don't know what you're going through, but God has an answer. And for the way He treats you and the way He treats me is different on every single case. God is a creator, and the way He's working, His overall will is never changes. But the way He deals with you, you've got to do what He tells you to do. And this is the wonder and the grace of God as He reveals His will to you. Do what He tells you to do. And if you can't hear, I want to suggest make a way that you can wait upon the Lord. You want to be successful, go wait upon the Lord. And maybe you need to set time aside and you need to be praying and fasting and be waiting and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, it's not always the big things, but it's a waiting upon the Lord. We've got an eldership team, and it's been absolutely wonderful to work with a team, because God doesn't just work through one person. And my dear friend Arthur, when we come up with a suggestion, he says, let's ponder on it. And it's wonderful. I tell you now, there's wisdom in that. Because as we've pondered and we've waited, because God's not in a hurry. Things can be done tomorrow. And if it's immediate, he will tell you, do it immediately. But we need to just ponder. Let's mull on those things. And sometimes you've got some big decisions ahead of you at the moment, and maybe you just want to rush into that decision. I'm saying to you, ma'am, sir, do not do that. Wait and hear what God is saying to you. You know, a lot of the times the obedience is following the peace of God. And God puts peace in your heart. You've mulled it over. You have a course of action that you think you need to be doing because you need to be put into action, and you have peace. Do that. God is speaking to you. Do that. Do exactly. And you know, it doesn't always come in the sky, do this, or you need to go there. It comes with the peace of God. We need to experience that peace, and I want to encourage you, grow in this obedience. And then thirdly, the rare thing is thankfulness. Here we see amongst the lepers that it was only one who turned back to give thanks to the Lord. And this is heart-searching, because most of us are like that. There were 9 out of 10 that never returned. Only one returned to the Lord. And I want to just encourage us today is, you know, God's put this church on a path to grow in this area of giving thankfulness and praise and to practice His presence. And I want to encourage us, we have to grow in this area. We cannot see it just as a principle in the scriptures and say, well, that's something good. I believe God wants us to grow in this area. And I ask the question of myself, and I ask the question of you, are you the one or the nine? Are you the one or the nine? You see, to give thanks to God and give praise to Him takes humility. Because so often we are so selfish, and when God does something for us, we will run off and we'll go on with our lives, but we'll forget about Him. You know, that's why I say is that God can pour out His miracles, and men and women will be impacted through the miracles and the healings of God, but they will still not serve Him. Why? Because there's something in the heart that's not right. There's a heart issue. There's no humility in that. They haven't grown into a place of being thankful. We see David and Paul in the scriptures that they were eminently thankful men. They grew in gratitude. You go and read the Psalms, and the Psalms are beautiful, and I encourage you to read the Psalms and see David's heart as he lifted his hands and he worshiped God with musical instruments. Learn to give thanks. And then Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. But my goodness, God transformed him and changed him to be a man that would rejoice, to be content and give thanks in all circumstances. He was a man that showed us the way of Christ. And I want to encourage us, we need to have the same heart, that daily that we need to have a thankful spirit. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, we mustn't be anxious for anything, but make our requests known to God, not only with prayer and supplication, but with thanksgiving. We need to be thankful in all circumstances. You see, this is a secret that I really believe God wants to reveal to us. When we understand with gratitude how God has canceled our debt, that we are walking in grace, and we remember that we are not deserving of anything. The only thing that we are deserving is the fruit of hell, all of us. But God saved us and set us free, and then we would grow into this thankfulness. See, God expects us to be a flower that will bloom and have the scent of heaven as we give thanks to Him and glorify Him. This is not easy. You've got to train yourself in this area to give thanks to the Lord. Now, there are going to be opportunities as you even leave here today, whether you can grumble or you can murmur or you can criticize, or you can judge. I promise you, you're going to come immediately. You're going to leave out here. The taxi driver is going to come past you. And what is your response going to be? Oh, thank you, Lord, for that taxi driver. He did not see me. Which is better? Or thankfulness to God. Put God in the circumstances. I battle it because the flesh wants to go that way and the flesh is stronger, but the heart needs to go and say, no, Lord, thank you. It's contrary to the world. The world says, get even. God says, bless. God says, come, bless your enemy. Pray for everything for them. It is contrary to my fleshly nature, but the spirit within me tells me we need to be thankful. Thankful to God. Thankful to God. And I want to encourage you as we learn to do that, something will change in your life. Fourthly, Jesus was waiting in the same place. If you read behind the scriptures, that portion of scripture, Jesus remained in the same place waiting to see who would return. Now, there are things that have happened in our lives, and I want to say to you and I want to suggest to you today, Jesus is waiting for you to come and see whether you will be thankful. He's done incredible things. You know, the incredible thing that he's done for us is our salvation, that we are born again, that we have the righteousness of Christ, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But will you be thankful for that? He's waiting to see whether you are thankful. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24 to 26, I read about Hezekiah. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him. He became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. It says here from the NLT that Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness that God showed him. How many times has God been kind to you and you haven't responded appropriately with thankfulness to him? Well, that's great. I'm going to get on with life. No. It says Hezekiah became proud, and we got to, when those things happen to us, we got to be humble. Humble ourselves before the Lord, and we got to bring praise to him and thanks to him. God wants that. He doesn't want us to be naughty children that are irrelevant. Is that the right word? Irreverent. He wants us to be thankful. And I want to say today, we're in a world today where thankfulness and manners is not the in thing. Children of today, not only the children, the parents are the problem, not always the children. The parents are not training their children to say thank you and please. The manners of, yes, Victorian manners, I'm not saying it should be there, but there should be thankfulness. There should be gratitude. We should be laying down our lives for others. We've got to learn those things. And I'm telling you, we have a responsibility as parents here to raise our children to be that. There's got to be thankfulness. You know, the simple thing of good morning. How are you? You know, those things are gone. Sometimes the schools got to do the work rather than the parents. And I would say, please raise your children to be thankful. You know, we got parents' hearts and we want to spoil our children. But don't overspoil them, please. Please. Because you know what happens when you spoil them? You get brats. And when you get brats, they become proud. And they become problems in life. Because they expect everything to be given to them. I want to just say, work with kindness and wisdom, and yes, give when it's the right and appropriate thing, but teach them to be thankful in all circumstances. I just sense as I was praying this morning that the Lord just wanted to say to you this thing of appropriately responding. The Lord just put in my heart, he's coming back soon. And he put in my heart and just said is that there were 10 virgins, young virgins, and only 5 were ready. And that's the aspect. If you keep thankfulness and praise, you'll be ready. Your lamp will be full. You won't be wondering, and you'll be ready to go home with him. Because I believe there is a rapture of the church. And I don't know when it's taking place, but I believe it's soon. Whether that's 20, 30 years, I don't know. But are you ready? And our heart, as we keep our hearts worshiping and thanking God. Fifthly, thankfulness makes you whole. Here Jesus, as he saw this man come back, he said he was made well, he was made whole. These other men were healed in their bodies, but this man was healed in his whole being, spirit, soul, and body. He was made whole. And that's what thankfulness does. See, thankfulness, as he came to the Lord, he bowed before the Lord in gratitude on his knees. He actually wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. He was contrary to the Jewish ways. But he came and he recognized that he needed to be grateful. And Jesus says to him, it was counted as faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. So I want to say, as you start to give thanks to God, you're expressing faith in him. And you start to please him. And the scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. There's something in this, folk. There's something in this. As we begin to practice gratitude and thankfulness and praise and worship of our God, faith comes and arises. And you grow stronger in your faith, and the presence of God starts to become a reality in your life. If you want to transform your life, start to practice this. Like that leper, that one leper, start to practice thankfulness. So practically, as you go on and live life, firstly, I want to say learn to pray. If you've never learned to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray, because it is a lesson to learn. Secondly, learn to pray personally and to pray with one another. Pray with those in your family. Pray with others, especially pray with your children. You know, even as they get older, pray with them, you know. Pray a blessing over them. I just heard during the week, the Jewish families, what they do, they say, God loves you and we love you. But I want to add to that, and you need to tell them, you need to love yourself too, because that's the love commandment. As we love God, love others, and we love ourselves. And you know, I don't know who mentioned to us, the prisons in America, where one of the biggest populations of the Jewish community lives, very few Jewish folk land up in jail, because they know God loves them, and their parents love them, and they love themselves. So yeah, there's something in that. Thirdly, watch and pray. We need to be looking out, and then we need to take action of watching and pray. You know, we become desensitized to what's actually happening. I hope you're praying for South Africa. Don't be sitting on your laurels and thinking this is all going to pass by. There's crisis out there, and we're the solution. Yes, we get together in our corporate prayer meetings, and we're praying, and we're trusting as a family of God, but are you praying for this nation, the land of your birth, that God's given us an opportunity? Because if we don't pray, we're going to get what we don't pray. And I want you to be praying. Pray for President Zuma. The Bible tells us to pray for our governments. Don't get politically caught up in this thing, and don't worry what he's doing, but pray for him. And God will sort the rest out. It's not our responsibility. Yes, we have a responsibility to vote, and we voted. That's fine. But we have a responsibility before our Father to pray for those in authority. Watch and pray. And yes, I know the newspaper and the news is disheartening, but pray with the eyes of God into those things, and pray into those things. I know it's a lot of negativity coming through this stuff, and there's not a lot of good news, but let it be maybe your prayer journal that when you're reading the newspaper, pray. Yes, Lord, we lift those people up to you, and you'll be amazed. And you know, I believe God is answering prayer on behalf of our nation. There's change taking place, and you know, good change is taking place because righteousness has been established. Let's not get partisan. Let's not be criticizing our government. Let's not be criticizing anyone. They've got a job to do. They're accountable before God. Are you doing what God's called you to do? Amen. Let's pray. And then in your prayer, pray for mercy. Very important. Then you'll find God's grace. Walk in obedience. Obey what God tells you to do. Walk in the simplicity of obedience. Sixthly, Come to your senses. Learn to give thanks in all circumstances. Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't become proud. Don't close up your spirit to God. Humble yourself before Him and give thanks to Him. And then arise and look up. As the leper, Jesus says, rise up, because he was looking down. He says, rise up and look up. Look up to the Lord and see that you are free, that you've been set free from your captivity. You still might be in captivity here today. You might be a leper, but in the spirit, let God set you free. But then go on your way. Go and live life. And I want to encourage you here, folk, that we got life to live. God hasn't called you home today. You are still here on planet Earth, and you got a number of years still on Earth to live. Live life. Not live life as the world, live abundant life and make a difference. Because when you get to heaven, it's over. And don't live that life starts when you get to heaven. It doesn't. Today is the day of salvation. Go and live life today and make the most of it. Go and love someone. Go and hug someone. Go make a friend of someone. Live out of yourself. Don't be so caught up in yourself. Go and take someone out for coffee, or love your wife and love your children. You'll be surprised how wonderful your life will change. And then may you be seen to be giving God thanks in all circumstances and being set free in that. Are you giving thanks to God? Jesus is waiting for your appropriate response. It's up to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love and thank you for your instruction. Thank you for teaching us your ways. And this is just something of learning your ways. There you are waiting for us, Lord, to give thanks to you. And Lord, may we all respond appropriately to you and give thanks to you and worship you. And may we practice that, Lord. May it not become just a duty, but may it be something that we want to do to give you glory and honor. So, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, I ask, Lord, will you forgive us where we become proud, where we have worked out our own salvation, where we haven't trusted you, and we haven't come to you in gratitude, and we haven't come to you with praise and thankfulness. Lord, will you forgive us? And will you set us free as we want to change our ways and we want to repent? And Lord, we want to do all things that are pleasing to you. Lord, we want to grow in faith. And we know that is as we give praise and thanks to you. So Holy Spirit, I ask, will you transform every one of us? Every one of us, Lord, for wherever we are, to see you as the Lord God Almighty. And we praise in you as the one that's in control. And to live in this incredible presence that you give us, your presence. So, Father, we ask that you bless us as we go our different ways now. May we just know the fullness of who you are in our lives now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in my heart, I just sense such a gentleness of God here today. And I want to just say, God is gentle and he's kind. Be gentle and be kind. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.